Bible Study Chapter 8. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The freedom of love that surpasses knowledge. Does knowledge make one arrogant, and love build up virtue? Now concerning things offered to idols. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible clearly teaches the principle that knowledge can make one arrogant, but love builds up virtue. This word was spoken by the Apostle Paul while explaining the problem of the Corinthian church, and it is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 as, "Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." At that time, there were people in the Corinthian church who had much knowledge about faith. They had the knowledge of faith that an idol is nothing, and based on that knowledge, they argued that certain actions were free. However, Paul pointed out an important problem to them. It is that knowledge itself may be right, but if knowledge is not accompanied by a heart that loves one's neighbor, it can make a person arrogant. Because knowledge gives a person the conviction that he is right, it can sometimes lead to an attitude that does not consider others. When a person begins to boast of his knowledge, it is easy for a heart arises that judges or ignores others, thinking that he knows more. Therefore, Paul said that a community cannot be built up by knowledge alone. On the other hand, love has the power of faith to build up a community. Love makes one think of the faith and state of others, and enables one to lay down one's own rights or freedom. When there is love, a person comes to think of the benefit of others first, rather than boasting of his knowledge or rights. Therefore, Paul said that it is the most important element for building up a community. This principle of faith is applied to the overall life of faith. Knowing the Word of God a lot and being rich in religious knowledge itself is important. However, if that knowledge does not share the same purpose as the preaching of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, faith can gradually change into a self-centered appearance. Conversely, a believer who has faith believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit makes people humble and moves forward in the direction of building up the community. Therefore, the Bible does not deny knowledge itself, but teaches the fact that knowledge must be accompanied by love. Knowledge allows one to understand the truth of God, but love shows how one should live by faith in the gospel word of that truth. In the end, the principle the Bible speaks of is clear. Knowledge alone cannot make a person perfect, but when accompanied by faith that believes in the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, knowledge is used correctly. Therefore, in the life of faith, it causes the community of faith to be built up, so that knowledge does not flow into arrogance. Paul begins with the following words. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. The knowledge spoken of here means accuracy regarding factual relationships. Many among the Corinthian believers knew well the fact that an idol is nothing in the world, and that food offered to idols is simply just food. This knowledge itself is not wrong. However, Paul throws a deeper question. It is the point of whether that knowledge is being used in accordance with the purpose of preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a knowledge system designed to prove what is right and wrong, but the power of the gospel of salvation that gives salvation and new life to the believer and builds up a person of faith. If one follows by faith the gospel of the water and the Spirit which the Word of God's truth testifies, would one not become a person who lives a life of faith that pleases God and then meets the Lord? And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 2 through 3. According to the teaching of the Bible, a person who lives following the gospel word of the water and the Spirit within the truth of God lives a life of faith that pleases God and eventually meets the Lord. This is because the life of faith does not simply end with a momentary confession, but is a journey of life lived by faith within God's gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This word means that the way to go to God is within the truth of the gospel word of the water and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and that the life lived following that word of truth is exactly the way heading toward God. Therefore, the life of a believer does not mean simply repeating religious acts, but means the direction of a life lived within the truth. Also, the Bible emphasizes a life that pleases God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10 says, "Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." A believer must live thinking about what becomes a joy to God in his own life. Such a life of faith begins from a heart directed toward God and appears within an attitude trying to live a life of faith for the preaching of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, following the Word of God. And the Bible speaks of the hope of meeting the Lord of the second coming on the last day. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, "Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." This does not mean that a person becomes perfect by his own strength, but that it must be a direction of living by faith, believing in the gospel word of the water and the Spirit given by God. There are several characteristics that appear in a person who lives within the truth of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. He tries to think and act based on the word of God and the preaching of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and tries to see and follow the purpose of preaching God's gospel as more important than his own desires. Also, he tries to live following the will of God within the life of faith. Such a life of faith is not simply outward actions, but becomes a life where the center of the heart is directed toward God. In the end, the way of faith the Bible speaks of is clear. A person who lives following the way of the gospel word of the water and the Spirit within the truth of God comes to live a life of faith that pleases God and comes to have the hope of meeting the Lord at the end of that life. Such a life is not made by force, but becomes a way of faith following the Lord. Within a heart trying to serve God's purpose within the faith that believes in God's gospel word of the water and the Spirit. Paul redefines the essence of knowing. "And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him." The core transition here is who the knowing subject is. The problem is not whether I know God, but whether God knows me. This change occurs only through the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Through the baptism Jesus received from John, the sin of the world is transferred onto Jesus' body. The judgment of that sin is completed on the cross. And when one becomes a child of God through believing faith, only then does the believer become one who receives the Holy Spirit as a gift. In eating or in all things, is it not the right thing to act for the benefit of brothers and sisters? Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. According to the teaching of the Bible, whether it is eating or any action, acting while considering the benefit of brothers and sisters is the right thing. Faith is not simply living based only on personal freedom, but must be lived as a life that considers the faith and spiritual benefit of others together. The Apostle Paul clearly explains this principle in 1 Corinthians 10. He says, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. This word means that a person of faith is not one who insists only on his own rights or freedom of faith, but must live using his faith in a direction that is helpful to others. At that time within the church, there was a controversy over the issue of food offered to idols. Some people thought that because idols are nothing, it is free to eat such food. However, Paul did not see that issue simply as a matter of knowledge or freedom. He considered it more important whether a certain action becomes a stumbling block to the faith of others. Therefore, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13, "Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." This word shows that in the life of a believer, love must become a more important standard than freedom. Also, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." A life for the glory of God is simultaneously connected with a life that considers the benefit of others. Because a person who loves God naturally comes to love brothers and sisters. Therefore, the important standard in the life of a believer is not simply, "Can I do it?" but "Is this beneficial to others?" Even when using one's own freedom, thinking about what kind of influence it gives to the community is the attitude of a mature believer. Ultimately, even if it is an everyday matter like eating, a life acting for the benefit of brothers and sisters is a life that pleases God. Such an attitude of faith is an attitude of faith coming from love toward the Lord's people, and it becomes the strength that builds up that community of faith and makes each other's faith grow. Paul clearly reveals the reality of faith. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. Following this, he confesses, "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ." This confession exactly matches the structure of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. All things came from the Father, salvation was accomplished through the ministry of Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, the truth of that gospel of salvation is testified by faith within us. Paul is not denying the content of the knowledge itself, but is dealing with how that knowledge is used. Is it not right to act with restraint for the sake of those whose faith is weak? However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 9. According to the teaching of the Bible, acting for the sake of those whose faith is weak is a very right thing, and it is a characteristic of a mature believer. This is because faith is not simply asserting the freedom of one's own faith, but is deeply connected to the consideration of faith that considers the faith and spiritual state of others. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 1, We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. This word means that the more mature a person's faith is, rather than putting their own rights or comfort first, they are in the role of helping and building up those whose faith is weak. Also in Romans 14, Paul explains an important principle by taking an issue like food as an example. Some people, having strong faith, think they can freely eat any food, but a person with weak faith might feel uncomfortable in their heart, or fall into temptation because of it. At this time, rather than simply asserting, "I have freedom," Paul teaches that restraining that freedom for the sake of a brother is the way of love. The same principle appears in 1 Corinthians 8 as well. Paul says that knowledge can puff up, but love builds up, and explains that if a certain action becomes a stumbling block to the faith of others, a heart willing to lay down that action is needed. He says that it is better to give up his own rights than to make a brother stumble. This attitude also appears in the life of Jesus. Rather than asserting his own rights, Jesus lived a life of caring for weak people with little faith and building up their faith. Therefore, the Bible teaches that the maturity of faith is not judged by the mere abundance or lack of knowledge, but is manifested through the consideration of faith and a life of faith. Ultimately, acting for the sake of those whose faith is weak is an action of love that builds up the community, going beyond simple consideration of faith. A person with strong faith becomes one who has the responsibility to help those with weak faith not to fall, rather than asserting only their own freedom. Therefore, the correct attitude of faith that the Bible speaks of is clear. Acting for those whose faith is weak and building them up is a life of faith that pleases God, and this is an important principle of faith that makes the community healthy. Paul turns his eyes to the pastoral reality. However, this knowledge is not in everyone. Some believers still have habits of past idol worship remaining, so when they eat the sacrifice, they even feel guilt as if the idol were real. Thus, Paul warns, "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak." The gospel of the water and the Spirit proclaims freedom, but it never places that freedom above love. Would it not be right to discard the act of causing a brother to stumble? For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. The exhortation to discard the knowledge that causes a brother to stumble is deeply connected to the principle of faith taught by the Bible. What is important in the life of faith is not simply what one knows, but what kind of influence that knowledge of faith has on others. The Apostle Paul, dealing with this issue in 1 Corinthians 8, says, "Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. At that time, some people had the knowledge of faith that an idol is nothing, so they thought there was no problem eating food offered to idols. However, Paul did not judge simply based on the rightness or wrongness of knowledge. He considered it more important how that action influenced a brother whose faith was weak. To some people, that food might not be a problem at all, but to a person with weak faith, it can become a cause of confusion in faith or stumbling. Therefore, Paul said that just because one has knowledge, putting that knowledge directly into action is not always right. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. "Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." This word shows that the love that protects a brother's faith is more important than asserting one's own knowledge of faith or freedom. Here, the saying, discard knowledge, does not mean to give up the truth, but it means to discard the attitude of boasting of knowledge or causing a brother to stumble based on it. Knowledge is necessary for faith, but if that knowledge is used without love coming from within faith, it can rather cause people to stumble instead of building them up. The Bible teaches that the center of faith is not simple knowledge of faith, but a life of faith that builds up the community through faith. Therefore, a believer must think about what kind of influence it will have on the faith of others, even when using their own freedom or knowledge. Ultimately, the saying, discard the knowledge that causes a brother to stumble, is an exhortation to prioritize love that comes from faith. The maturity of faith is not manifested by how much one knows, but is manifested by the love of faith that can restrain one's own rights and freedom to build up the faith of others. Paul presents a specific situation. If anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, the result is severe. And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? Here, perish does not mean the cancellation of salvation, but means the destruction of faith and the collapse of conscience. And Paul adds a decisive sentence. He is saying not to make vain his ministry, in which Jesus received the transfer of the sins of the world through the baptism he received from John and became our Savior by receiving the judgment of sin on the cross. Is not injuring the conscience of a brother's faith sinning against Christ? But when you thus sin against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. According to the teaching of the Bible, it can be said that injuring the conscience of a brother's faith is sinning against Christ. The Apostle Paul clearly explains this fact in 1 Corinthians 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, Paul says this, when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. This word shows the fact that the relationship between believers is not a simple human relationship, but a relationship formed within Christ. At that time in the Corinthian church, there was a conflict over the issue of eating food offered to idols. Some people thought that because an idol is nothing, eating such food was not a problem. However, to those whose faith was weak, that action could cause great confusion in faith. Therefore, Paul taught that just because one has knowledge, one should not use one's freedom as one pleases, but must consider the conscience and faith of the brother. The reason Paul said this is because the saints within the church form the body of Christ. Injuring one brother is not simply injuring an individual, but injuring a person who belongs to Christ. Therefore, Paul explained that an action that causes a brother to stumble is ultimately the same as sinning against Christ. Also, this teaching shows an important principle of faith. In the life of faith, not only the question, "Can I do it?" is important, but the question, what kind of influence does this have on the brother's faith, is also important. It is because the love that protects another person's faith is more important than asserting one's own freedom or knowledge. Therefore, Paul said that if there is an action that causes a brother to stumble, he would willingly lay down his freedom. This is not an attitude of forcibly restricting oneself, but a choice coming from love. Ultimately, the principle the Bible speaks of is clear. People who believe the gospel word of water and the Spirit are one community connected to each other by faith, and one person's action can influence another person's faith. Therefore, an action that injures a brother's conscience or destroys his faith is not a simple personal issue, but also becomes an important issue within the relationship of faith with Jesus Christ. Therefore, in the life of faith, putting the love of faith before knowledge, and acting in the direction of faith that builds up the brother's faith, is the way that pleases God. Paul reveals the essence of the problem. When you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Why is that so? It is because they are members saved from sin by believing the gospel word of water and the Spirit, and a temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. The freedom that tears down a brother is also committing a sin. Conclusion. Is there not a reason to choose the brother's benefit? Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. According to the teaching of the Bible, there is a clear reason why a person who believes the gospel word of water and the Spirit must choose the brother's benefit. It is because faith is not simply an individual life, but a life of a community connected to each other within Christ. First, it is because the saints are a community that forms the body of Christ. The Bible compares the church to the body of Christ. Like members of one body, the saints are connected to each other. Therefore, one person's action can influence another person. Considering the brother's benefit is not simple consideration, but the work of building up the whole body. Second, it is because the love of faith coming from faith is the principle of faith that builds up the members. Jesus said that loving God and loving one's neighbor is the greatest commandment. Choosing the brother's benefit by faith is exactly the appearance of practicing this love in actual life. The attitude of thinking of another person's benefit first, rather than one's own freedom or profit, is a life that manifests the love of Christ. Third, it is to protect the believing faith of the brother. Among the saints, there are people whose faith is strong, and there are also people who are still weak. A certain action might not be a problem for me, but it can become a stumbling block of faith for another person. Therefore, the Bible teaches that rather than asserting one's own rights, it is important to be considerate so that the brother's faith does not fall. Fourth, it is because it is a life that follows the heart of Christ. Jesus did not seek his own rights or glory first, but lowered himself to save people from sin. The saints living a life that chooses the brother's benefit is the appearance of living following the heart of Christ. Fifth, it is for the benefit of the propagation of the gospel of water and the Spirit. When the lives of the saints appear as an appearance of considering each other and loving by faith, the community becomes healthier, and the gospel of water and the Spirit is also revealed more beautifully. Conversely, if one pursues only one's own profit, the community is divided, and the influence of the gospel of water and the Spirit can also be weakened. Ultimately, the reason a believing person chooses the brother's benefit is not a simple moral reason, but because of the life of the community united within Jesus Christ and the principle of the love of faith. This attitude builds up the church, makes each other's faith grow, and fulfills a life that aligns with God's will. Paul concludes this chapter with a powerful conclusion. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. This is not the voice of the law. It is a voluntary choice flowing out from the faith that believes the gospel word of water and the Spirit. It is not to obtain salvation from sin, nor to keep rules, but to preserve the life of the brother's faith. Because one has already possessed all freedom through the gospel of water and the Spirit, One can rather willingly and joyfully lay down that freedom of faith. 1 Corinthians 8 asks us today, is your rightness saving the brother's faith, or is it merely proving your freedom of faith? A sermon by Paul C. Jong, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Beloved saints, today through the word of 1 Corinthians 8, we would like to examine how we should use the knowledge of the gospel of water and the Spirit, the love of Christ, and the true freedom of faith. This word does not simply deal with the issue of sacrifices offered to idols, but is a word that clearly shows with what attitude of faith a person who knows the gospel of water and the Spirit must live. Paul first speaks like this: we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. This word brings very many lessons. Faith requires knowledge, but if that knowledge is used incorrectly, it makes that person arrogant. Inside the Corinthian church, there were many people who had the knowledge that an idol is nothing. The knowledge itself that they had is not a wrong saying. In reality, an idol has nothing to show off before God. God is only God the Father, God the Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who have become the Holy Trinity. However, although they received salvation by the faith that believes in Jesus Christ with this knowledge, regarding the issue of idols, they did not consider other people. This was the problem. Beloved everyone, you must know the fact that a person who has believed the gospel of water and the Spirit and been saved from sin can also fall into arrogance. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says, he said, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up a person. In the following word, Paul says, for some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. That is, even the same action is no problem for some people, but for other people, it can become a thing that destroys faith. What is important here is not the action itself, but what influence that action gives to another person's faith. A person who knows the gospel has the freedom of faith. However, they do not use that freedom of faith only for their own benefit. Why is that so? A person who knows the gospel of water and the Spirit received salvation by believing that their salvation was entirely because Jesus received baptism from John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, received the judgment of sin on the cross, and resurrected from death, thereby becoming our Savior. Because of that, we are no longer those under the curse of the law, but those who have been delivered from all sins. However, Paul warns like this: therefore, be careful so that your liberty does not become a stumbling block to those who are weak in faith. This is the principle of the life of faith within the gospel. It does not mean that a believer can live however they want, but rather, as one who has the faith that can deliver other people from sin, it is accompanied by a deeper responsibility. Paul speaks more strongly, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. This is an extreme expression, but it also becomes a word that he considers other souls that precious. Beloved saints, a person who knows and believes the truth of the gospel of water and the Spirit needs a life of faith that must exercise self-restraint for those who have not yet been saved. They must consider the salvation of other people's souls more important than asserting their own rights of faith, because they know that they too are those who have been saved from sin by the grace of God's gospel of water and the Spirit. Here we must make one thing clear. This is not a saying to return to the law again. It is not a matter of, can I do this or can I not? We are already those who have obtained salvation by faith within the gospel of water and the Spirit. However, when that freedom of faith is used as self-indulgence, it causes the neighbor's soul to be lost. A person who does not know the gospel word of water and the Spirit tries to cover themselves with their own good deeds. Therefore, they judge a believing person's faith through what they eat and what they do not do. However, a person who believes the gospel of water and the Spirit is different. As one who has already been saved from all sins, he is a person who has the faith that can restrain himself to build up other people. Ultimately, the core of 1 Corinthians 8 is this. If the knowing knowledge of a person who believes the gospel of water and the Spirit is not manifested as love, it cannot give true benefit to others. Beloved everyone, is your life of faith perhaps staying only in knowledge? Are you judging other people or elevating yourself with the fact that you know the gospel of water and the Spirit? If so, you must return to the Lord again. What ministry did Jesus do for us? Because he had the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism he received from John for our sins, received the judgment of sin on the cross for us, and resurrected from death. We could be saved by faith. A person who believes the gospel of water and the Spirit is a person who lives a life of saving other people's souls and building up their faith by propagating the gospel of water and the Spirit. Now our standard of faith must be clear. It is not, is this possible? But does this save another person's soul? This becomes the guideline of faith that we must live by within the gospel word of water and the Spirit. I pray in the name of the Lord that this gospel takes deep root in your hearts, so that abundant knowledge leads to love. And that love manifests as a life that builds up the faith of other people.